Thank you for joining us here at Celebration Church, where we celebrate God, celebrate people, and celebrate life. We hope you enjoy today's message.
Welcome to Good Friday, the day that we celebrate the cross and the power of the cross. If you're new here, a big welcome to you. If you're online, welcome as well. Podcast, welcome. But it's great to be together, isn't it? It's great to be together to celebrate Jesus, and he's such a wonderful Savior. Thanks, Kez. Why don't we close our eyes? Let's just ask the Holy Spirit to come and do what he wants to do. Father, we just thank you for your presence. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your kindness. And today, Holy Spirit, we invite you, have your way in this place. Send revival fire upon this place and help us focus our hearts in this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. We have our wonderful kids with us in the service. And as a father of a four-year-old, energetic four-year-old, if you're a parent and your kid needs to go outside and run, feel free to take them out and run them out on the fields. We also have a kids' babies room over here you can go and enjoy as well. And there's a live stream in there. So it's always fun. Who are parents here and your kids are older or grown up and you remember when they were toddlers or four-year-olds? Do you remember what they were like in church and worship? If they're in, hey, I was there, I was worshiping the Lord and I was one eye on my son and God, give me patience and grace and love. It's a good season. All right. Question I have for you this morning. What moves you? Why don't you say, what moves you? What moves you? What moves you in life? What moves you to action? One day, my eyes were opened and I saw my beautiful bride-to-be. And I was moved to action by sending a text message. And the text message said this. It was one word. It said, oi. And I'm not even joking. And we started a journey of relationship. By every day, we'd send a text message to each other that simply said, oi. And then she would write one and she'd say, oi. I think it was her way to try and get me to notice her every day by saying, don't forget I exist, oi, or vice versa. This is a true story, isn't it? Yeah, true story. And as we built our affection through the ois, love blossomed. So if you're single here and you're interested in a girl, oi. And even to this day, you might hear in our house, oi. Where's my dinner? No, I don't say that. I don't say. I serve her. As you saw last Sunday, the palate cleanser, dishes, 6 hours of food journey. If you missed that last week, it was a fun service. What moves you? Is it need? Is it responsibility? Is it the expectation of others? Is it guilt? Is it because it's the right thing to do? There are different things in life that cause us to move. This morning I want to speak of the higher way, the higher motivation, and that way is the way of compassion. Why don't you say compassion? Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. If you have your Bibles, why don't you turn there? Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. It says this, speaking of Jesus, it says, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. The Bible talks many times about how Jesus had compassion, or one translation says he was moved with compassion. The thing is about compassion is that it moves us to action. The word compassion, I'm going to get it up on the screen. It's a Greek word, and it is a very hard to pronounce word. Are there any Greeks in the house? Do you, anyone want to tell us how to pronounce this word? Splagchinzimayo. Splagchinzimay. I butchered that so badly. I even had it on that Google pronunciation thing and it still didn't make sense to me. The word here that we just read is, speaking of Jesus, he had compassion. It means this, it means to be moved as to one's bowels. Hence, to be moved with compassion. Have compassion for the bowels were thought to be the seat of love and pity. How weird is that translation? That is the Greek translation of this word. Let me give you some context. These days we say, I love you with my heart. In the Greek language, it was, I love you with my intestines. Literally, the definition was, they believed that your emotion and your motivation and your empathy and your pity weren't found in the heart, they were found in the gut. You know, they're saying, I have a gut feeling. So as I was preparing this message, I went into one of our bedrooms and Charlie was there with our newborn and I said, I love you with my intestines. And she thought it was the most romantic thing she has ever heard. Oi, I love you with my intestines. And so the translation here literally means from the innermost being, from the intestines, from the bowel. That's why it's a weird, they believe that that's what actually moved them. And our translation today, or our paraphrase today, would be, I love you with my heart. And compassion isn't just a feeling, it is a call to action. The phrase move with compassion literally means stirred to action. This Easter Friday, my heart and my prayer is that we become deeper in our revelation when it comes to being people of compassion. That Jesus was on the cross and he died for our sins, and it was the greatest act of compassion on mankind. And it wasn't just a feeling of the heart that Jesus had, it was an action that changed history. How amazing is that? Compassion defined means this, a strong, this is from the Cambridge Dictionary, a strong feeling of sympathy or sadness for the suffering or bad luck of others, and a wish to help them to feel how someone else feels and to stir to action. Compassion is more than an emotion, it's a cause to action. One thing that I really can't watch on TV is any type of wildlife show where there is one animal killing another. I am a wuss with this. I will change the channel when this happens. Is anybody else like that? Now, who here loves those killing scenes? You're just like, rewind it, let's play it again. Let's watch the lion eat the gazelle. Let's watch whatever it might be. Now, my wife might be more like that. I am definitely not more like that. And I love wildlife documentaries, but I have to fast forward these bits because I am so full of compassion. In my bachelor days, I even had trouble killing a cockroach once in my house. And yes, I had a cockroach in my house. And don't judge me, I know you have cockroaches sometimes too. It wasn't a house of squalor. I don't think. I did pack all, I give you just, any. Who are the bachelors in the house? Okay, let me give you some hope. I would use every single dish in my house until there was no more dishes. Anyone else do that? Yeah, Mark Webster, yes, one person. And I had Connect Group in my house and I ran out of time, and so I put all the dirty dishes in all the cupboards in my kitchen to hide them. I hid my shame. And this is a true story, and I wasn't dating my now wife, my wife, and she wanted to help. So she went into the kitchen and she opened the cupboards. And I'm not joking, it was all the pots, all the cups, all the plates, used, dirty. I didn't have a dishwasher. And she still married me. So that's on you. That's on you. No excuses. You knew what you were getting yourself into. She had compassion. That's right. Yes, that was very good. So Jesus was moved with compassion. Have you, who here's read that? You reading it and it says Jesus was often moved with compassion. He was moved by it. It was so strong in him, it made him do something. Some examples of this are in Matthew 14:14, where he saw the needs of the multitude. They were exhausted and wandering like sheep, being hungry without food. It says he was moved with compassion with the two blind men in Matthew 20:34. He was moved with compassion with a leper in Mark 1:41. And he was moved with compassion with the widow in Luke 7:13. Jesus modeled what it was like to be so close to the Father and so close with the Holy Spirit that he was in tune with what the Holy Spirit was doing. And he was moved with the Father's compassion. Being moved with compassion causes us to see and feel the way the Father feels. Who here wants to see and feel the way our Heavenly Father does? God, make us more like you. This year as a church, behind this is a big word saying that says closer. This year is all about drawing so close to God. Personal revivals breaking out in our hearts. Creating space for personal revivals in other people's hearts. And the way we do that is we actually draw near to God as close as we can with open ears to hear the Holy Spirit's voice, allowing him to stir us and move us to action. This Easter, let's be a people who are moved with compassion. And by the way, as a testimony, I've heard a few people recently saying how they feel like that personal revival in their heart is already starting to erupt. And can I encourage you, keep praying, Lord, give me a personal revival of the heart. And the Lord will answer your prayer and he will mess you up in the best possible way. And our church will be empowered to be all it's called to be because we are people who have revival fire in our hearts. And come to the revival prayer meeting, 9 o'clock this Sunday. I'm looking forward to praying and storming heaven together in Jesus' name. When we are filled or when we are moved with compassion, we move the way the Father moves, and therefore we see the Father's fruit. Who here wants to see the Father's fruit in your life? But when you're moved with compassion, according to what the Father does in your heart, you start to see his fruit. We must be good at seeing what the Father sees and have the confidence to respond in accordance to this. Lord, and this is a prayer I pray every day, and I encourage you to pray the same prayer. Father, open my eyes to what you have me see. Open my ears to your voice. Open my eyes to your works, and open my ears to your voice. Help me in my dullness to be sharp spiritually. I'm a man of the flesh. I look at the flesh. I look at you today and I see flesh. But the Lord says to look into the spiritual realm because that is more real on earth as it already is in heaven. So we have to become very intuitive and very led by the Holy Spirit and then be confident in this. I'm just going to get a photo up if I could. It's a baseball photo. Who here likes baseball? Who here could care less about baseball? Yes, most people. No offense to any Americans. In baseball, they have this thing, and I don't know if you can see it on the screen, or maybe you can. There's a box up there on the screen. There's that square. And when you watch baseball on TV these days, live baseball, they will have that on the screen. And that square is called the strike zone. And if you know anything about baseball, you know that three strikes and you're out. So the pitcher will pitch the ball, and if it goes in that square and the batter does not hit it, three of those and they're out of here, mister. See you later. And so the goal of the pitcher is to get it in the strike zone because that's the accuracy zone. In baseball, let me just read this. The baseball must pass in order to be called a strike, even if the batter does not swing. The strike zone is defined as the volume or space above the home plate and between the batter's knees and the midpoint of their torso. Whether a pitch passes through the zone is decided by the umpire, who is generally positioned behind the catcher. Strikes are desirable for the pitcher and the fielding team, as three strikes result in a strikeout for the batter. Who here wants to have so much accuracy in God's kingdom that you continually zone into God's strike zone? If you want to discover the strike zone for your life, the place of effectiveness, this is it. Pay attention to where the Lord causes you to have compassion. Compassion will reveal the strike zone or the open window of His miracles. I'll use an example. If we do an altar call and there's 20 people down here, I will say this, Holy Spirit, where is the compassion in my heart for these people? And I'll wait to see if He draws me to somebody. Jesus often was moved with compassion because He knew that where the Father was drawing Him and where His heart was stirred was where the miracle zone was. You see, baseball calls it a strike zone. We call it the miracle zone. And in life and in kingdom and in your family and in your workplace, take the time to say, Lord, where is the strike zone of compassion? And pay attention to where He leads you. If you find yourself, in another word we can use, is having a bit of a burden for someone, well, that's the place of compassion. When someone causes you to have someone come to your mind and the Holy Spirit says, I want you to pray for them or text them or call them or make them a meal, and you're thinking, that's a bit bizarre, I don't know what's going on. What He's doing is He's causing your heart to fill with compassion, which is more than an emotion. It is a call to action, and by doing so, we actually step into a miracle zone. I would rather have a shot that was accurate than 50 shots that didn't hit the target. Jesus did not heal everybody. This will mess with you. Jesus went to the pool of Bethesda. He went to different miracle moments. And it doesn't say He healed everyone who had paralysis or every leper. It says that He was drawn. It says He was moved. It says He sometimes would heal one and leave another and walk out. Well, how is that kind? How is that politically correct? You see, as Christians, we feel like everyone has to always be the same. But sometimes God has got people on different trajectories and different timelines and different seasonal breakthroughs. And maybe someone's harvest is in 2 years and not today. And maybe someone's harvest is tomorrow. We have to be so in tune with the Holy Spirit. And if you want open eyes to see, pay attention to the compassion strike zone. This is good preaching. Don't get me wrong. You can pray for 50 people and that's still a blessing. But I'd much rather give my energy being led by the Spirit and saying, Lord, who do You want me to pray for in this moment? An example of this is in Luke chapter 5, verse 17. It says the Spirit of the Lord was present to heal. You know, there's different times where different anointings fall upon meetings. There's different moments where there might be a healing grace that comes for a certain thing. Get this with me. We can't afford to miss the moment. We had a service a couple of weeks ago. We were talking about how God takes our brokenness and our shame and in his hands redeems it so that instead of being a place of shame, we're in a place of victory. The scars in Jesus' hands, which was a public shaming thing naturally, was actually the scars he showed his disciples to say, look at the victory that just happened. And the scars that you carry are not for your shame, they're for your victory. In his hands, in his wholeness, in his healing. And in that meeting, we said, we're going to do an altar call. And if you feel like you're stirred in your heart, come down the front. And there were some people who came down, there was others who didn't. And I kept saying, don't miss it. If God's stirring you, be here. Why? Because I know that there's moments of breakthrough. That anointing might not be here tomorrow. But in the moment, do we have ears to hear? Is this okay? So a couple of things. Compassion shows us where the strike zone is or miracle zone for that moment. We are not called to be busy. We are called to be fruitful. And Jesus only did what he saw the Father do. Church, only do what the Holy Spirit is telling you to do. We are called to soar like eagles, not flap around like plovers, making lots of noise. Instead, we're called to speak through our actions. We flap around, we get busy, we're trying to do everything. Our motivation is wrong. Instead of being motivated by love and compassion, we're motivated by need, responsibility, the right thing, rosters, anything else. Fine, those things are okay, but they're not the highest call. We must become eagles who know how to put their wings out on the updrafts of heaven. Can I hear an amen? Amen. And how annoying are plovers? Just as a side note, very annoying. Compassion opens a supernatural window for heaven to invade earth. And God uses compassion to reveal what he wants to minister to next. Compassion opens our eyes to the Father's plans. Jesus was moved with compassion. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, Matthew 6:10. When we are moved with his compassion, we are used to express the Father's heart on the earth. And through closeness, we become sensitive to the promptings of the Holy Spirit and the compassion that he carries. Now, this might be a bit podcastable. There's lots of stuff I'm giving you. Probably you're retaining 5%. There's a lot of gold in this. So make sure, our podcast on our website, listen to this stuff. That message about pain turning into victory, listen to it over and over until, if you have pain, until you get it. I do that with one, like, different messages, and I just, Lord, let me capture this. The ministry of Jesus, from his humble birth to the death on the cross, was defined by compassion. The word compassion means to suffer with or to suffer together. And Jesus suffered for us and he suffered with us. Even now, when you go through pain, he knows the pain. He is with the brokenhearted. And Jesus uses the word compassion or the translated word compassion in three of his parables. The king had compassion on the bankrupt servant, Matthew 18:21, forgiving him his debt, showing how we should forgive one another. And through this parable, we see this miracle. And if you're writing this, write this down. We see the miracle of forgiveness through this parable. Compassion opens different windows, and one of those windows is this. It's the miracle of forgiveness. And who knows that God is all about forgiveness? Remember, in this parable, this is the word compassion, that the one about the bows, that big long one about the bow movements. That is what this word is. The king had compassion on the bankrupt servant and forgives his debts. Luke chapter 10, verse 25, the Samaritan has compassion on the Jewish victim and cares for him in love. The good Samaritan. Luke chapter 10, 25. Through the Good Samaritan's compassion, what happened? The miracle of healing was brought about through unconditional love. So through compassion, the miracle of unconditional love was shown. Can you just give me these examples right now? Just take them for yourself. In Luke chapter 15, verse 20, we see the story of the prodigal. The same word compassion translated is used here. The father has compassion on his rebellious son. And through this window of compassion, we see the miracle of the prodigal son coming home. What happens if through you and I being led with compassion, we see the prodigal start coming home? What if that was determined, or God was waiting for us to be obedient to that stirring of compassion? Maybe forgiveness. Maybe the miracle of unconditional love. Maybe God's calling you to love again. While compassion opens these windows. And then we get to the cross as we finish. We're going to take communion in a couple of minutes. And we see Jesus suffering the horrors of the cross. And in Luke chapter 23, verse 34, Jesus says this, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing." And we see this amazing example of compassion, where in the midst of torture, shame, and humiliation, that Jesus opens the window or the strike zone of the miracle, and he says, "Listen, forgive them." And the miracle of forgiveness takes place. Jesus showed compassion to the crowds and through this opened the door to the miracle of forgiveness. Can I hear an amen? Amen. If Jesus, while hung on the cross, can still be saying, "Father, lead me with compassion," then how much more can we be led with compassion in our lives today? How much more this Easter can we be so in tune with the Holy Spirit and His heart that He starts to lead us to places of miracles as Jesus forgave the crowds? And then in Luke chapter 23, and let me read this to you, verse 39. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come, when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus answered him, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." Jesus showed compassion to the robber and through this opened the door to the miracle of salvation. Today we are encouraged and called and anointed to be people who are moved with compassion. This Easter, we have to be thankful for the compassion of the cross. We have to be moved by His compassion. Recognizing and stepping into the miracle strike zone revealed to us by having eyes of compassion. Church, let me ask you this question. Do we have eyes of compassion? Do we see the brokenness the Father sees? I'm praying that our church community gets a fresh revelation for the need of salvation for our city. Because we've been too comfortable for too long. I pray that we get a burning compassion when it comes to how our Heavenly Father sees the South Coast. Pastor Joel and I were talking before the service, and there are tragedies that are happening in our society. Broken people, families that are shattered. And we have to make sure that we are not so comfortable, especially on the day that Jesus gave his life in extreme discomfort for you and I when we didn't deserve it. My sin put him on the cross. My shame put him on the cross. My failures put him on the cross. And today, the least I can do is respond by saying, thank you, Jesus, and help me to have eyes of compassion the way that you have eyes of compassion. For Lord Jesus, you were moved throughout your ministry to the point of being moved on the cross. Holy Spirit, help us to have a revelation of this. We're just going to hand out the emblems or the communion. And our worship team is going to come and lead us in an item. And while we do this, I encourage you, ask the Lord for a fresh revelation of compassion. Eyes of compassion. Let's close our eyes and let's take this moment to remember what Jesus did and the compassion he had for us and for mankind. I'm just going to do two things. And if you've already taken your communion, that's great. But keep your eyes closed for a moment. I just spoke then about how on the cross, the robber who was beside Jesus asked Jesus to have compassion and to have mercy and to include him in his kingdom. And if you're here today, if you're here, can we just wait, guys? Can we just wait 1 second? Everyone close your eyes, please. If you're here today and you know that your heart is not right with God, if you know that you are far from him, if you know that you're like that robber on the cross and you need to say, Lord Jesus, have compassion upon me, then today we want to pray for you and we want to make a declaration of commitment to Jesus and a forgiveness of sin. So if that's you in this place, why don't you just put your hand up where you are and say, you know what, Benaiah, I need to get my heart right with God. I need to make sure my heart is right in Jesus' name. Awesome. I see that hand. Anybody else? Awesome. I see that hand as well. Awesome. I see that hand. Awesome. Those hands over there too. Once they're up, you can put them down. Awesome. I see that hand as well. Thank you, Jesus. Our God is a God of great compassion. And he is someone who in our worst place will give us a new start through his great love. We're going to pray a prayer of commitment. If you put your hand up, I want you to pray this from your heart. And we're going to join with you. Say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for my sin. And today, I ask for forgiveness of my sin. And I ask for a new start. And Jesus, I say I believe in you. Be my Lord and Savior. And Holy Spirit, help me to walk with you every day and read my Bible and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give God a hand of praise. Thank you, Lord. Come on, let's lift him up. Thank you, Lord. And if you're here and you haven't taken the emblems, why don't you just take a moment? We're going to finish by singing this song. Thank you, choir. You guys are amazing. Thank you for leading us today. But let's sing this song together as we finish. And let's worship King Jesus. Amen. In Jesus' name.
We hope you were encouraged by today's message. If you would like to know more about our church, please go to celebrationchurch.com.au.